Welcome and thank you for joining me for another episode of the Rivulus Irrigation Training Series. I'm your host, Richard Restuccia, and today we're going to be talking about MAISI fertilizer injection systems. And I want to tell you, I want to tell everybody about 6 or 7 years ago now, I installed my MAISI fertilizer injector. And I am telling you the results I had in my landscape were visible within days. And, you know, one thing's for sure is many people ask me, well, how do you do this, right? Why are your plants looking so good? And I point a lot of the credit back to the fertilizer injector. And then they want to know, well, how do you do it? How do you set it up? How do you dose? And it starts to get a little complicated to them. And what I realized was that when I was setting mine up and dialing mine in for my area, I could call John Petroso and ask him directly some questions, and he certainly provided a ton of engineering help. It wasn't that complicated, but to just be able to pick up the phone and call him and have that resource was huge for me and made a huge difference. And I realized that when I started to explain to other people. So I've had John on the show a couple times now to help all of you learn this path of fertilizer injection, how easy it actually is, and what a big difference it makes, not just for your plants, but in water savings as well, and fertilizer not creating overuse, right? We think that maybe 60, 70% of the nitrogen that's put down is wasted. So this really helps with reducing that waste as well. So, and the really good news is that at the end of this, John's going to give you his phone number and email address, so you can also benefit just like I did from being able to call him or email him and asking him for help. So, John, welcome. Thanks for joining us again today.
Thank you, Richard. I appreciate being here. I appreciate the opportunity, and hopefully I'll give you some tips on fertigation in general and MAISI injectors.
Yeah. So, John, one thing before we get into the injectors, I just, you know, you're a former grower, you're up there in Fresno, you know agriculture in particular in the Central Valley very well, interacting with growers every day. We're here at the end of August. How's the season going?
It's been a different year because the tomato guys, they're delayed a little bit. Some of them didn't get into the ground when they wanted to. But we're moving towards harvest. Back east, the leaves turn and, you know, the sign of fall. Here in Fresno, when the raisins start going down, to dry on trays and stuff, that's the end of summer, the start of fall,
you know. Yeah, that's the first sign.
And I was out the other day driving and I did see some trays down on the ground. You know, we don't do that as much. We do more dried on the vine and that too, but they're shaking the almonds and getting ready to go full bore into harvest. We got the tomato trucks screaming down the road every day. And
yeah, it feels like fall, right?
That's right.
Fresno State football too. Don't forget that.
Yeah, coming up here pretty soon. I'm a Fresno State alum, and my daughter was on the Fresno State dance team, but she graduated last semester. So she'll be watching it from the sidelines.
Right. Great school, great ag program, great football program, well, great sports program. I mean, you can't miss with any of those sports, really. So John, tell us a little bit about fertigation today.
Okay, well, I'm going to kind of go into fertigation and what makes a good fertigation system. You want it to be a safe system where the operator and the environment, you're not leaking material out into the environment. No hazards. You don't have high pressure hoses that are leaking. You want a good operating system. You want it to be easier to use and easy to manage. You know, you don't want a system you need a advanced engineering or computer science degree to start and stop and operate. You want something that's easy, trouble-free, and consistent.
Now, John, along those lines, like mine is always connected. It's just a matter of, am I putting fertilizer in the tank or not? Is that how most of the systems are? Where
some are, a lot of them. My first exposure to Maize injectors was the first vineyard I planted. We put in a fertigation system, and it was a Maize injector, and we had little isolation valves to shut off that bypass when we weren't fertigating. But it can go either way. And like on a homeowner thing, I know when Angelo set up on Angelo Maize, set up at his house where he's got them on solenoid valves. So every 2 weeks when he fertigates, it opens up the valves and runs the injector, and then it closes and runs normal operation till the next time he fertigates.
Yeah. Nice to have it automated that way. That's for sure. Yeah. That's
some saves smart irrigation there. And then one thing you want to make sure is the product is mixed. That's one advantage of a Venturi, and I'll talk more about that, is the internal mixing action of a Venturi ensures mixing, where some of the dosing systems, the pumps and that, they need an external mixing chamber, or they're hoping or installing a static mixer in the irrigation line and hoping that the material gets mixed fully and out to the crop. And then you want a system that's reliable and that is going to give you a long service life. And you want to have a system that's you've got confidence that it's going to work today and next week and 6 months to a year down the road, it'll still be operating properly. So things you need to have in a fertigation system. You want one that will stop injection when water shuts down. It's nice thing about a Venturi, if there's not water running through a Venturi, you're not going to have suction. It's not going to work. That's something with some of the pump systems, especially because they might be on 110, where the pump's on a higher horsepower, higher draw, and we've had instances where the pump shuts down because of a power outage, the main irrigation pump, and then the power blanks back on, and that fertigation pump, 110 fertigation pump kicks right on is injecting, straight fertilizer into the irrigation system. And that's going out and highly concentrated and can cause some damage. So you want to have some safeguards with that. Another thing is insurance against contamination. You want check valves on any system you have to prevent water going back and contaminating your source product. You want anti-siphon valve so it doesn't pull fertigated water back into your source, down into your well or back into a canal. So in California, we require you have to have backflow prevention devices on the irrigation systems. And a lot of states do, but there are some that don't. But it's always a good rule of thumb to have that.
Yeah, we had Danny Martinez on, and you can find this in our trainings library, talking about backflow prevention. And I was, I used to think, it's not that big of a deal. How often would this happen? You're really protecting against a very small percentage of opportunity. And then when he went through all the ways it can happen, I was like, oh my gosh, it is really important to have that backflow prevention.
Yeah, especially in a smaller landscape situation or a smaller farm that they're using the domestic well for irrigation of small plots and that type of thing. So, you know, you can contaminate the water coming into the house.
Right.
You know, and that type of things. And then lastly, you know, you want to have, you know, a fertigation system is one of the easiest ways to create more value of an irrigation system. And you want, fertigation is a management tool, and irrigation also is one of the ways you can really affect that crop and as a management practice. So you want something that's economic. You also want something that's economic to purchase and operate. You
know, right.
You're not spending a fortune on your fertigation system. And today, especially this last year, fertilizer costs have gone way up. You know, and we're always, even though we had a wet year this year, we're always concerned about the scarcity of water and water quality. We want to be aware of what we use and how we use it, so the excess nutrients aren't being pushed down below the root zone and contaminating groundwater or running off into surface water. And you know, there's a lot of instances that they talk about in the Gulf, the dead zones and all that, and the algae blooms in the lakes and like in San Francisco Bay and all that. You just got to be aware that you want to get value out of the fertigation that you do and not waste it.
Yeah, I feel like I'm a running commercial today for our old trainings, but Eric Olson did a great training on nitrogen and nitrogen utilization. And when he first threw out the 35%, I thought, wow, that's pretty bad, you know, a 35% loss. And he was like, no, that's how much actually gets used. It's a much bigger loss than 35%. It's 65%. So, yeah, so important, right? Because as you mentioned, fertilizer is expensive. And you want to be sure you're applying it and getting full utilization out of it.
And that's, you know, I'm going to mention, and probably mention it several times, the four R's of good fertigation is, you know, the right time. You want to do it at the right place, the right product, and the right stage, you know, so used to be guys that are like, hey, I'll just do one big shot and then I'm good. And, you know, the timing might be off, or, you know, you're going to leach that down, you know, so, you really got to be aware of that and you know, be a good steward of the environment, but be a good steward of your money. For better fertigation, we want to make sure the irrigation system is in good working order, good distribution uniformity. Because if we're fertigating and we don't have a good DU, we're kind of wasting our time. We're going to have hot and cold spots, and we're not going to get the full benefit. We want to combine the nutrients into the irrigation stream and get it well mixed for even distribution. That's why, you know, I prefer using a Venturi to do that. And then another thing that's really important is perform a jar test. And a jar test is you're taking a little bit of your irrigation water, putting it in a jar, putting a small amount of the material you're gonna inject, shake it up, let it sit for 24 hours and see if anything precipitates or if it turns cloudy or that. And then you can take it from there. That way you're not creating problems. You know, you don't want to have something you inject and it precipitates out, clogs your emitters, cause damage to your filters, you know, that type of thing. Doing a quick jar test, and really recommend doing it every time you fertigate, because your source water the conditions might change. If you're pulling out of the well, the pH might have changed, or just because of, you know, the well being drawn down or that type of thing, or the canal and the product you're using. Sometimes you'll have the same product, but you might go with a different manufacturer. There's different additives in there and they react differently. So it's always good to do a jar test. And
That's a great...
don't do that, and there's a lot of train wrecks because of it.
Yeah, no, that's a great hint. And we've got a question coming in right now, John. I just want to remind everybody, I've got the Q&A open. So if you've got some questions for John, type them in there and I'll get to them to him when appropriate. But this question has to do with just the application in general for better fertigation. Should you be dripping some fertilizer every time you irrigate, or what are some of the philosophies around that, John?
A lot of philosophies, and I'll touch on it at the very end, really moving away from that big slug of fertilizer doing, you know, spoon feeding, giving the crop what it needs when it needs it. The Almond Board published a really great study showing at what stages of the trees, you know, growth and the stage of the crop, what the demands are, and kind of adjusting your fertilizer program to that. So you're giving it to it right when it needs it, you know, making sure it's available to the plant. That's where the right product comes in play in the 4 R's, because if you're putting in a material that needs to be broken down by the microbes before the plant takes it up, well, then you're going to have to allow for that time to do that. And maybe you have the time, maybe you don't, maybe you need to look at a different product.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Thank you. That's interesting.
Okay. And then another thing kind of going on that, you need to test your plant material, your tissue and your irrigation water. A lot of wells are pumping nitrogen, and then, you know, so you need to take that into account. Save you a little money, so maybe you don't have to put in as much nitrogen as you thought you did, and, you know, seeing what the plant has and what the plant needs. So fine tune, not just go by the calendar and, hey, that's traditionally we've always put in this many units of nitrogen on, you know, this date, and farming by the calendar may not always be the best way to do it.
Right. Yeah. I was talking to somebody last week outside of California, and they said that there's so much nitrogen in our water right now, we don't have to supplement any nitrogen. Yeah. It's just going in with the water supply, and man, we got to protect against that.
You know, and then, you know, avoid over irrigation. You're wasting energy, you're wasting fertilizer, you're pushing those nutrients down below the root zone where the plant can't take it, and creating other problems. And then you should flush the irrigation system after each use. A lot of guys put in a little valve by the fertilizer tank so they can shut off the fertilizer tank and have a bucket of water there, and they can suction that in and run it through the injector and clean it out real quick. And then another thing is when you're fertigating, they like, you know, you want to have the system fill up with water first, and then have your fertigation event, and then allow enough time to have this system flush out that material out of the drip lines and that, so it gets out into the soil profile where it needs to go, and not help create biofilm in your drip lines you're going to have to deal with later.
Yeah, so some simple common sense maintenance there, that's for sure.
Yeah, Yeah. So the two most common types of injection systems are naturally a venturi-based system, works off of pressure differential. Water comes into the injector. You have a higher pressure at the inlet of the injector, lower pressure downstream. That creates a vacuum, draws the material in, mixes it, and puts it out into the irrigation system. And then the other way to do it is a positive displacement pump, where it's either a piston pump or a diaphragm pump, where it pumps the nutrients under high pressure into the irrigation line, and in pulses, and hopefully you have a mixing unit or a static mixer or something like that to make sure that material is brought in uniformly. So how we got started, Angelo Mazzi, also a Fresno State grad, was working in Bakersfield, working for a large farming outfit, and the aqueduct was coming into Kern County in the early 70s. There was a lot of drip irrigation was coming along, and there really wasn't a good way to inject liquid fertilizer into a pressurized irrigation system, especially if there wasn't any electrical power at the point of injection. Angelo, with a background in engineering, and looked at the venturi, and he took a venturi and he optimized it, and got his first of many patents, and developed a venturi for fertilizer injecting, and that started the company. And since that time, we build fertilizer injectors, and that's my main role on the ag side. But we've got in mixing and contacting systems and food processing and municipal water treatment and wastewater treatment, and Mazzi products have been shipped all over the world. So that's kind of how we started. And Angelo is still actively involved in the company day to day. So this is an animation of the injector, and we just remove the outside, and here we have water going through the injector. You see you have a higher pressure on the inlet side, a lower pressure downstream, and the water's coming into that injector, and it's narrowing down into the suction chamber there. And as it does, it increases in velocity, and that creates a vacuum, just like air going over an aircraft wing. And that creates a vacuum. That's that little white triangle there. We're using that to demonstrate that. And to start suction, you need about a 25% difference between the inlet pressure and the downstream outlet pressure. But the injector is most efficient. You have maximum suction at between 45% and 50% percent pressure differential. So that's a big thing. If you want to create more suction using a venturi, increase that pressure difference. So how do we do that? We can do that by restricting some of the flow in the main line using a pressure restricting bypass. You've got a gate valve there that's cranked down, creating a little more pressure on the inlet. We've got lower pressure downstream. We can also do that by using pressure regulating valve or a pressure sustaining valve in the main line and building a bypass around that. See that a lot in the landscape industry. They'll use a pressure regulator to do that. We use that free energy to do that. And then lastly, we're using a booster pump to create that pressure differential. And people go, well, you're using a pump. Why not use a positive displacement pump? Well, with a booster pump, we're using a centrifugal pump. It's less expensive, and you're only running clean water through that pump. So chemical never hits it, so you have less wear and tear. When you're installing an injector, You can do it vertically, but always make sure the water's going up and never down, because if the water's going down, you run the chance of scavenging the injector and breaking suction. And then and I'll go over this a little bit again, but also to size an injector, you can go on our website and look at our performance tables and size it that way. But you can also use our free injector selector tool. It's just on our welcome page, just up the top. Click on the injector selector tool, register once, it gives you a password, and then you can use a free online tool to size the injector. And I'll show you a little bit of that.
Yeah, this is all very new, all these animations. This is great. We got a couple of questions coming in. If we can just take a minute, John, here, sure, and pause. First question is this. Do you put these fertilizer injectors upstream or downstream of your valves?
Well, you can. You can do it both. Anything downstream that's going to create pressure differences, you need to be aware of. You don't want to put the injector in and then have a pressure regulating valve.
Yeah.
Downstream. We have folks that inject that at the filter station, but then we also have people doing it, especially up in the Pacific Northwest. They like doing it right at the block valve. So you have a pressure reducing valve at the block, and they build a little bypass right there. And that's where they inject using that pressure difference from what's going into the valve to what's going downstream. So I got a picture here of two injectors. It's actually the same injector. It's our 1-inch 1078. And the injector on the left, the pressure is 25 PSI going into the injector. And downstream, it's 5 PSI. So if you look at that big orange triangle, it's not really a true triangle, but that kind of illustrates the vacuum space, and it's pretty large. And at those pressures, that injector will draw in about 96.7 gallons per hour.
Wow. So
that's a good amount.
And the reason we know that, right, is because there's a 20-point differential in PSI?
Right, that there's actually a much larger, you know, you're at the maximum there. You know, you've got a more than a 50%. That injector itself at those pressures needs about 12 gallons a minute of water flowing through it. So the big fallacy of people think the more water I push through the injector, the better suction I'll get. Actually, each injector has a specific, what we call motive flow. It's the amount of water that is required to flow through the injector. And you're not going to get any more through that. So that's why you want to use a bypass at times. So on the right, we've got the same exact injector still at 25 PSI. But, you know, let's say that downstream, maybe they shut off a block or something like that. And now we've got 20 PSI downstream instead of the 5. And if you look at the vacuum space, it's considerably smaller because, you know, we're running at about 25% of a pressure differential. And if you look at our suction rate, now it's been reduced by about 2/3, and we're pulling in about 31.9 gallons per hour. Mm. So, you know, the moral of the story is, you know, the pressure differential is key. And actually, if you call me and have a question about, you know, what you're doing, one of the first questions I'm going to ask you is, what are your pressures? And the nice thing about a Venturi, mostly it's if you're having problems, it's you know, about the pressure differential, or possibly you don't have enough flow going through the injector. But generally, it's you don't have enough pressure differential. That's kind of key. So some other things when you're installing the injectors, you want to do the same pipe diameter as the injector, or larger, never smaller, because you don't want to restrict that flow in the injector. And you want to make sure the valves and fittings are, you know, if you use any isolation valves or anything like that, you want them the same size or larger than the injector. And you should use full flow valves, so there's no restrictions. And then lastly, you want to make sure that all your fittings and connections and the injector are compatible with the liquid you're injecting. So we manufacture our injectors in polypropylene, which is good for most of your ag chemicals, most of your fertilizers you're injecting. But if you're injecting acids or some of your chlorines, like some of your line cleaning products, you want to use a PVDF injector. And that's the generic name. You'll hear the trade name Hynar or Kynar. Those are trade names for PVDF, and that's polyvinyl phorylene. But it's just a more acid resistant, corrosive resistant material. If you're injecting like a wettable gypsum that's really highly abrasive, we really, really recommend that you use a PVDF injector. And you can tell the difference between the two. The PVDF injector has a slight sheen to it, and it's heavier. And a poly injector, it's more of a matte finish to it. And if you put a poly injector in a bucket of water, it's going to float. A PVDF injector will sink to the bottom of the bucket.
Ah, good good tips there too. I didn't know those two.
Okay. And then as far as common installations, a large majority of the installations are a bypass with some type of restrictor in the main line during the fertigation event, with the bypass built around. You can see those little red isolation valves in there. So if you don't want water going through that injector when you're not fertigating, you can shut that off and isolate that and run that valve right open. In the middle there, we've got a booster pump where we're creating that pressure differential with the booster pump and pushing it back into the main line, so we're not affecting the flow or the pressure in the main line at all. And we have I'll show you in a minute, we've come out with a booster pump skid, and I'll talk to you about that in just a second. And then you can also do it full flow. And
So, John, I'm sorry, can you go back one slide? I'm excited to hear about the skids, but
sorry.
Other way. So when on this, when would I use one more, please? Yeah.
There we go.
So I look at one is the bypass, and three, let's just call it inline. How do I determine to go bypass or inline?
Well, bypass or inline, and actually, if you talk to me, I'm going to try to push you into bypass, because it just makes life easier. With the inline, first thing is, the injector can be a flow restrictor. So the mode of flow of that injector, and you can look up on our charts, that's how much flow you're gonna have downstream. So I showed you before that that 1-inch injector, and let's say our line is going at 25 PSI. Can you put up with 12 gallons a minute of flow at 25 PSI? Okay, well, if the answer is yes, great. Then the next thing we got to have is do I have enough outflow of my emitters downstream to create that at least a 25% pressure differential to create this suction that I need? And am I going to have to use a metering valve and a flow meter to dial down that suction of that injector to get the rate? Because sometimes, and I do have a guy calls me every year, he uses a very large injector. He wants to inject a very small amount of material. And I'm always telling him, well, you can do a smaller injector in a bypass and do that. And he goes, no, I want to do, because all my lines are an inch and a half, and I want an inch and a half injector in there. And but I have to dial it down to what's almost shut off to give me that low suction rate. So that's
yeah, no, totally get it now. Yeah, yeah, thank you.
So that's how we do it. The bypass, you have more flexibility, and
yeah,
I can create a pressure differential.
Totally.
So
yeah, let's see those skids.
Okay, so we built the skid because for years people would go off and build their own. We had a manufacturer close by to Macy we worked with for years that built skids, and we just recommended those. They went out of business, so there was a void in the market. We built a skid. We both have a high pressure and a low pressure unit. And we engineered these skids. We designed them, put them on our test bench, ran them, went back again and designed them, went back and altered the design. So we optimized them so they are the most efficient sized with that injector. And we build them. We have a 1 inch up to inch and a half. We have a high pressure unit for mainline pressures of 55 PSI up to about 70. And then we have a low pressure unit from 25 to 55. And we're ensuring that the material is fully mixed with the in unit. And
That's a nice setup. Wow.
Nice setup, nice clean. Nice thing about it, it's got a flow meter, so you can dial in what you need to inject. And we've got pressure gauges on there, so you know what your mainline pressure coming into the unit is, what the pressure is going out of the unit, so you know everything's working properly and functioning. So why are we using a skid instead of a positive displacement pump? Main thing, we're getting uniform distribution and fully mixed product through the mixing vanes and the actual action of the venturi. We're a positive displacement pump. We're pulsing the material in under high pressure and hoping that we've got enough mixing in the main line to fully mix that product, so we have a uniform distribution. With the flow meter and metering valve on the skid, we can dial in exactly the rate we want, where with a positive displacement pump, we're restricted to the settings of the pump. So that may or may not work in our application. Maintenance of a venturi, there's fewer parts to fail, less wear and tear, so there's less work maintenance. With the actual mechanical action of a diaphragm pump, there's more components to wear, more stuff to go out of calibration. And then because the actual injector has no moving parts, once we set up with our pressures and all that, we're going to consistently inject that amount of material every time after time. Where with a positive displacement pump, a piston or a diaphragm, as that pump wears, it's going to start walking out of calibration. And then the booster pumps lasting longer because we got it's not exposed to chemicals. It's running clean water through the pump. And the positive displacement pumps, even though they're designed to work with with chemicals, they will wear, you know, faster as time goes by. And then another way we can inject, and this is your display at World Ag.
Yeah, I was going to say that looks familiar.
You know, this is a pressure regulating valve in the main line there, and it's actually a pressure regulating gate valve. And we've got a bypass with solenoids built around it, so it can be automated real easy. And we've got the injector there in the middle. We've got a check valve on it, and actually you've got a plastomatic valve on the flow meter, so you can, using Jane logic, you can adjust your flow and that. And the nice, you know, that's one way to do it, to easily automate it. The booster pump skid, you can do the same thing, where you can automate that with a Jane logic unit. And I hope that's the name of the units now.
It is. You're still good.
I'm still good. We haven't changed day. I started thinking about that right after I said that that's there. So then the kind of last thing I wanted to, a couple things I wanted to go over real quick. We've gone over the injectors. A lot of people come back to me and say, wow, you make a lot of injectors in different sizes. And we do, because that way we can get you the right injector for your application. And the easiest way to do that is you go on our website, www.mazy.net, and it's not a box, it's just up at the top you'll see injector selector tool on that welcome screen. Click on that once, you register for it real quick, you'll get a sign in and a login password. You can change that password once you get it, and you can log on to the program. And what you'll get is first thing you'll see is selecting your method. So you've got a booster pump, you've got the pressure reducing bypass, and you've got full flow. You select the one you need, and it's going to ask you questions of, hey, what's your flow? What's your pressure? How much do you want to inject? And a few other things. And then it will give you, these are the recommended injectors, and this one happens, and you can give it that information in imperial units, or you can do it in metric. So this screen actually is metric, so I apologize for all that, but this will give you the injectors that are recommended for your situation. It'll tell you what your inlet pressure is that you gave us, the outlet, the water flow that is needed, and the suction rate. So you can make your determinations there. But over on the right-hand side is the real neat stuff. There's a box there that says send to review for Mazy. If you click on that, and in that comment box, you could write your questions, what they may be. Sometimes it's just, hey, which injector you recommend I use, or maybe you have, hey, I'm injecting a material that has a pH of 4. Should I use a poly injector? And no, you shouldn't. We will give you those answers.
Typically, John, how long does it take for you to get an answer back? 24 hours?
24 hours. If I see it, I jump on it. We have a tech support person in the office from 7:30 to 5, and she will jump on it. Sylvia, she also is fluent in Spanish, so if you prefer your information in Spanish, give her a call at the office or email or you know, hit that send it to Mazy, and you know, put it in the comment box, I prefer Spanish, or you know, that, and she would respond to that. But we try to get out these. I try to check it occasionally on the weekend, because I know growers are trying to do what they're doing. And if I can get back to them and get them going, you know, I do that. So,
yeah,
you know, it's really handy. The nice thing about the tool too, if you're using a booster pump, it will tell you how much boost pressure you need and suggest the water horsepower of the pump you need. So when you're selecting your pump and all that, you can do that. Or you can buy your skid and it's all taken care of for you. But on that. But another thing I wanted to touch on is proportional feed fertigation. Dr. Burke at IRTC in Cal Poly has really promoted proportional feed fertigation. That's giving the plant what it needs when it needs it. It lends itself to saving automation and it saves labor costs and it improves fertigation efficiency. It's just taking it to the next level. And things you need to look out for that. And you know, another thing about Venturi's worldwide, your proportional feed fertigation units, the majority of them use a Venturi. We supply our Venturi's to a lot of those OEMs that are building them. But the reason why they're using them is because of the mixing and the fine control of a Venturi. So, you know, when you're looking for a proportional feed system, you want to look at a, you know, equipment that is, you know, has a reputation for quality and reliability. You want a accurate system. You want a well-engineered system that's simple and easy to use. So that you or your staff have the, you know, make sure that everybody has the ability to use it. You want to have safety alarms and alerts to tell you if the system's down, if your irrigation system's down, whatever the case may be. You want to have those alerts and alarms so you know. So you want to have the connectivity to be able to reach up to the cloud so you can get texts or emails, however you want to be notified. You want to have a historic use report, be able to generate that so you can, be able to do the regulatory requirements of Sigma that's coming down the pike and that. And you want to be able to reduce fertilizer use. And a proportional feed unit, if used properly, will most likely do that. And some of the units out here, I've got some pictures of some of the units that are out here made by different manufacturers. And then our skid can be used that way too. If you automate it, or you can just use it manually. But that's some of the units out there. The field is growing every day. There's more and more proportional feed. We're moving. A lot of the berries are being grown with proportional feed fertigation, and you're starting to see the veggies, but starting up. But there's growers in the tree crops and vines starting to use it too. So that's the wave of the future.
And very nice. So then this is how we get a hold of you.
That's how you get a hold of me. My email. My phone number isn't there. It should have been there. My phone number is area code 661, 331-6500.
Yeah, that's a really generous offer there for both the email and the phone number. So we have some questions about sizing or engineering or installation or maintenance or operation. You're available.
Give me a call, and I tend to answer it all the time because it's easier just to take care of it than get kind of dirty looks from my wife. But you know, she's been putting up with it for a long time, so
yeah. It's John's a great resource. I know that firsthand. So please use him. John, thanks so much for coming on today and taking us through fertigation. You know, I always learn something when I hear you teach. So thank you. I want to say thank you to all the viewers. Again, remember, we've got over 300 trainings now at the janesusa.com/trainings page. And all of them are free to learn from. And John, as you know, we extract the video too and create podcasts out of these. So got a lot of people out there working and listening and learning at the same time. It's really great. So again, John, thanks very much for coming out today.
Thank you, Richard. I sure appreciate it and always enjoy it.
Yeah. And thanks to all of you for watching. And we're going to be off with the 3-day weekend coming up for the next few weeks. And then we'll be hitting it heavy again in September. So watch for those emails. And thanks again, everybody. Have a good rest of the day.
Thank you. Bye.